If you want to help, be a blessing, make sure you see Brian right after the service. He'll be out in the atrium. And don't forget your items. I'm telling you, it's just amazing how those items, you probably don't think much about it, but actually is massive to people who are in need. And there's more than you can realize right here in our own county that need those items. I want to encourage you with this. And one thing, we don't want to just be generous, but we also want to be connected. And that's why we have life groups here at RCC. And we have a phrase here. It says, get a life. We actually mean get a life group is what we mean by that. Get a life group. And we hope that you'll plug into a life group because we really don't want to be a mile wide, inch deep. We want to grow deep together, and that happens in community. So you can see information about that on the screen. You can QR code that to get information. You can go to the website. That's also on the screen. I also want you to notice Pastor Anthony, our discipleship pastor, his email is up there and his own personal phone number. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and text him random questions about anything. And just ask them, you know, why, what's going on with my medical problems. I just ask them whatever, right? And but he would love, he's being vulnerable to you because he wants you to be vulnerable as well by being in a life group. So I want to encourage you to do that, and because that's really the heart and soul of our church family here. On top of that, next week is Welcome to RCC. If you've never been to Welcome to RCC, to know kind of how to plug in, what makes us tick, what makes us grow here, we're going to be having that class next week at 10 a.m. So come to 8:30 service, come to 11:30 service, you can come to our Thursday night service, and then you can obviously come to 10 o'clock to go to Welcome RCC next week. So you can leave your kids here if you come to 8:30 or 11:30, and we just want to help serve you and get you plugged in here in our church family. You know, we're going to talk about continue our relationship series called Don't Get It Twisted. And didn't the kids do a great job last week? Our students did a phenomenal job last week. So way to go, students. And I got to watch on Thursday night, got to watch online from California last week, and I was encouraged. It was just a blessing. You know, today we're going to talk about something. I think that many of us may go, well, that's already passed, you know, my life. But I guarantee you, you probably know somebody who's in this phase we're going to talk about today. Because stats tell us that most of us are going to get married. And stats also tell us that most marriages are not doing very well. And a lot of times, if we look back, we ignored warning signs when we were dating one another. Because you know this, when you're dating somebody, you tend to want things to work out, right? You want all the love songs on the radio to make sense in your life, right? You want the relationship to move forward. And even if you see something that's kind of a warning, your mind is going, pay attention to this, but your heart is going, we're going to make it work. We're going to work this out. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about those who are wise and how they pay attention to things and how they handle it. And those who are unthinking, they tend to respond a whole different way. Our cornerstone passage is from Proverbs chapter 27, and I want you to look at what it says. Sensible people will, look at this, they do what? They see trouble coming. They see trouble coming, and they do a second thing. They do what? They avoid it. But the unthinking person, they do two things as well. They will what? They will walk right into it, that trouble, and then they'll do what? They'll regret it later. So there's sensible people and there's thinking people. And the sensible, they see trouble coming, they avoid it. And the unthinking, what they do is they walk right into it, and then they regret it later. And some of you can look at your own life, your own dating life, and see there were red flags that flared up, right? The red flags that happened in your relationship, and you try to ignore them, and then you may stay in a relationship way too long, or maybe it led to a marriage, and that marriage ended up not working out very well. But you look back, you see the red flags. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a message that for some of you, you're going to say it's very, very extreme. And the reason why is because, well, it is extreme. I'm talking today to people who are following Jesus with their life. And if you're someone who's not following Jesus, I want to say thank you so much for being here. We are so grateful to have you, and we hope you'll continue to make steps, next steps in your spiritual growth. But what I'm going to say today in this message is going to be very, very odd to many of you, and it's going to be very, very different to many of you. And what I want to acknowledge is this. What I want to acknowledge is normal today is broken hearts. What's normal today is regrets. What's normal today is divorce. And I don't know about you, but I actually want something different for my life. And so we're going to look at the five kind of warning signs today. Whoops, five warning signs. That's not the right flag. This one is, all right. The five warning signs about what to watch out for in our dating, the dating traps we want to avoid. Number one is this. First warning sign is this. When you're with someone and they're not consistently pursuing Jesus. And I said that exactly how I want to say it. When you're with someone and they're not consistently pursuing Jesus Christ. It's not that you're perfect. It's not that they're perfect. But it's that we are pursuing Jesus together. We're trying to get conformed in his image. And I say that because you may meet someone and you're like, where do you stand spiritually? And their response is, well, I guess I'm raised in America, so I'm Christian. I'm not Muslim. I'm not, you know, Hindu, so I guess I'm a Christian, you know. And that's what we have a lot in our culture. We have cultural Christians. So, like, yeah, I go to church, you know, every Christmas and Easter. We call those Creasters, by the way. So, you know, that's basically, I'm a Christian. And I'll be honest with you, that doesn't really mean they're committed followers of Jesus when I hear that. So I'm going to say something that, again, is going to be very extreme. And it wouldn't be true of every case, but I think it'd be true in most cases. If you meet someone and you're getting to know them and you're spending some time in intimate conversation with them, if you don't hear anything about Jesus, you don't hear anything about their faith, you don't hear anything about God, you don't hear anything about them being plugged into a church family, all right, within the first hour, I would suggest that is a red flag. Because here's a reality that many of us need to remember. I know for some it's going to sound extreme, but here's the truth. People talk about first what they value most. Like if you talk to me, you'll hear me talk about my faith. You'd hear me talk about my family, my wife. You'd hear me talk about golf because I love Jesus. And you'd hear me talk about Auburn football because I like pain, agony, and disappointment. It hurts really bad right now. Anyway, somebody else may go, they may talk about their shoes, they may talk about their car, they may talk about their career. If they're talking about their ex, let me tell you right now, that's a big red flag in the first hour of getting to know them. That's a whole other sermon. But you tend to talk about first what things that you value most. And so if you go, hey, what's your spiritual beliefs? And they're like, well, I guess I'm Christian. Well, do you attend church anywhere? If you have to ask that, and after extended conversations with them, chances are they're not really committed followers of Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us about this when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look what he says. Do not be what? Do not be yoked together. That means you don't go together. You can't be united with an unbeliever. If you're a Christian, don't try to build a marriage with someone that doesn't have the same spiritual beliefs that you do. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And this isn't trying to criticize unbelievers, just trying to be, you know, realistic here. What you're saying is there's a different spiritual foundation that's almost impossible to build a rich and God-honoring life when you're operating from totally two different spiritual playbooks and spiritual, you know, values. But I know some of you right now are pushing back. You're like, but I love him. He's so cute. She's so fine. We have so much fun together. God is limiting my options. God is making it so difficult. If I can't find the godly person, I'll just find a person with a pulse because I don't want to be limited. God's not limiting you. God is loving you. God is protecting you. He wants you to share the most treasured gift with someone that you have. You know what your treasure gift is? It's Jesus. That's your most treasured gift you have. And you're not on the same page. That make any sense. In fact, Old Testament gives us some really good words of wisdom. In Amos chapter 3, when Amos says, can two walk together unless they've agreed? I promise you, what you believe spiritually will impact every area of your life more than anything else about your life. Your spiritual foundation will influence how you parent. I mean, would you want to parent totally differently when they have a whole different value system than you? It'll influence what you think about money, material things, your generosity strategy. If you go to church, if you don't go to church, and if you go to church, how plugged in are we going to be? We're just going to kind of come in, hop, take a seat, and leave. Are we actually going to be plugged in? Are we going to do life with these people? Are we going to serve? Are we going to be in a life group? It also dictate, you know, not only how you go to church, but what you watch together, what shows you watch, what shows you don't watch together, who your friends are, how you interact with people, how do you forgive those who hurt you, because that's going to happen. What do you do with temptation? Is divorce an option in your marriage? marriage, or is it off the table? Because you have totally different spiritual foundation. Here's another one. What do you stand for? What do you stand against? What's your divine purpose in your life, and why in the world do you even exist? If you have spiritual different foundations, how can you walk in the same direction when you have different values? In fact, I would say it this way, not in a critical way, but in a sincere way. If he or she is not passionate about God, it's going to be so much more difficult for him or her to love you in the way that God intended, because guess what? God is the one that moves our hearts. And so I would just say to those who are committed followers of Jesus Christ, my suggestion would be this: don't give someone your heart if God doesn't have theirs. Don't give someone your heart if God doesn't have theirs. Don't compromise and try to build a life with someone that has a whole different worldview than you, because what you believe about Scripture, what you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus, what you believe about eternity matters more than you could ever possibly imagine. There's some other red flags. I want to talk about this one. This is a big one. This red flag is this: when you're dating someone, when those you love don't love who you are dating. When you have a strong community around you, especially if you're spiritually grounded, and they don't like the person you're dating, that could be a warning sign. And we see this all the time, because, you know, you meet someone and they're so cute and you have so much fun together, and you like the way she smells and you like the way he walks, and you got this chemistry together, and you get all the tingles when you're with each other. And then you talk to your best friend who loves Jesus, and they're like, "I just don't think they're good for you." And you talk to your other friend who loves Jesus, like, "I just don't see that really being a good fit for you." You talk to your dad who loves Jesus, I just don't see that. You talk to your mom who loves Jesus, and she says, "I just don't see him being good for you." You talk to your sister, she doesn't like him. You talk to your brother, he doesn't like him. And your dog, who likes everyone, doesn't like this person. When they don't like the person you're with, guess what you do? You listen. Proverbs chapter 27 says, "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." You want to listen to those who love you. And if they're saying there's something you should pay attention to, I want you to hear that, because a lot of times they see things that you don't see. I know that's what happened in my life too many times. People saw what I didn't see. They may say to you, "I've seen it. He's pushing you sexually. He's pushing you to do something that's outside your spiritual values." Or they may say, "You know what, she's too controlling. She's not blessing you to have a life or identity of your own." And so you want to listen to those who are around you. And what's going to happen is you're going to want them to be wrong. Right? Because you like this person. "Oh, but you don't know them the way I know them. They have so much," what we can say? "They have so much potential." That's what we say. Scripture says this, tells us, "The way of fools, it seems right to them," the fools. "But the wise, they do what?" Say it with me. They listen to advice. And what we want to do is we want to be wise. We see trouble coming, we want to avoid it. The unwise, they walk right into the trouble and then they regret it later. The next third one that I want to talk about today is this one: when you don't experience healthy conflict with the person you're dating. Now, the reality is you're going to fight. You're going to fight when you date. You're going to fight when you get married. It's not if you're going to fight, it's how you fight that really, really matters. Because healthy couples tend to fight fair, and unhealthy couples tend to fight dirty. Healthy couples, they fight for resolution. Unhealthy couples, they fight for personal victory. For example, Rachel and I have learned to work towards resolution. In fact, the other day, we got in a big fight. It was bad, massive fight. She came to me afterwards, crawling on her hands and knees. And she said to me, "Get out from under the bed, you coward, and fight like a man." That's what she said. She's intimidating. So anyway, we've learned to work on our relationship in non-conflict times, and very practically, I like to arrive early. I like to be on time. Rachel's more creative in her expression of arrival times, okay? And so it comes to come to church. We come to separate cars. You know, that's what we've been doing. It saves our marriage. And what we've done is we've learned to work through a lot of issues, even small issues, and love each other as we work through them. I tend to avoid conflict, all right, if I'm honest. My wife, on the other hand, sweet Rachel, won't let it go. She's really, really good about holding us accountable. She'll say something like this: we're going to continue to work this out. We're going to continue to talk about this. The Bible says don't go to bed while you're angry. There have been times when we didn't sleep till Thursday, okay? But we work through it together, and we've learned to fight fair. See, couples tend to have extremes. Some fight all the time. Like if your rhythm is fight, break up, make up, fight, break up, make up, and you've done that 8 times this last Tuesday, that's a problem. The moment you start to think, well, if we get married, that's going to solve the problems. Don't believe that lie. It's akin to those who get married and they're fighting all the time. They think this, you know, if we just have a baby, it's going, some of you are already there. You're already growing. You're like, oh, it hurts so bad. But yeah, if we just have a baby, it's going to make our marriage so much easier. Some of you know that's not true either. So you have those who fight all the time, and then you have the other extreme, and they never fight at all. It's kind of like conflict avoiders, all right? And that's not healthy either. So what we're looking for is a reasonable amount of conflict and spiritual maturity to love each other well through conflict so that we can move our relationship forward. My favorite verse on conflict is this, the brother of Jesus, James. He says in James chapter 1, you should be quick to listen. Look at that. You should be quick to listen and what? So to speak. Not quick to speak, quick to listen. Slow to speak and slow to become what? Angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. The fourth flag I want to talk about today is this, and that is when you find it difficult with the person you're dating to trust the one you're with. In fact, Paul says this about love in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, love always protects. And look at what it says next. It says, it always what? It always trusts. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have moments of insecurity, right? All of us will have moments. It's kind of natural. Is this relationship moving forward? Or are we still moving in the same direction? But what I'm getting at is when you can't trust someone, that's a red flag. And it may be because they're not trustworthy. Meaning you say, I can't trust them as far as I can throw them because you really can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Maybe she's still in contact with her old boyfriends. Maybe he's always checking out the waitress every time you go to a restaurant, all right? So there's a reason you need to pay attention to that. That's a red flag. Or let me just say this gently, but let me say it. It could be that you're the problem. It could be that you're over-possessive. It could be that you're insecure. It could be that the problem isn't that they're not trustworthy, but the problem is that you're not trusting. And either way, it's a red flag, even if the red flag is you. So you find yourself always wondering, you know, what's he looking at on his phone? Who's she talking to right now? Where is she at? Why didn't they call me? Pay attention to what that says about your relationship. Why in the world would you want to stay in a dating relationship when you can't trust that person? It's a red flag worth paying attention to because the wise, the thinking, they see it and they avoid it, and the unthinking head right into it and they regret it later. But the fifth red flag I want to talk to you today about is the biggest one, in my opinion. It's the most important one. And if the person you're dating, look at this, when the person you're dating is leading you away from Jesus instead of closer to Jesus, that's a red flag. If you're spending time with someone and spiritually, you're not as vibrant as you were before you started spending time with them, that's a problem. So good questions to ask at certain points, like month one, month three, month six, 12 months into it. The question is this: am I spiritually growing in this relationship? Am I growing closer to Jesus than I was before I met them? In fact, it was Jesus who said this very clearly in Matthew chapter 24, see to it that no one, including the person you date, see to it that no one leads you where? Astray. Let's get practical. If you start dating someone and you stop going to church, red flag. This happens to teenagers, students. This happens to people in their 50s. When you start dating someone and you withdraw from Christian community, red flag. When you start dating someone and all of a sudden you compromise sexually and you wake up and you realize, you know what, rationalizing sin together, that's a red flag. And again, it feels very extreme because it is. Remember, the scripture is very clear that the gift of sexual intimacy is only for marriage between a man and a woman. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted. Of course you're going to be tempted, right, when you get close to someone. But here's the challenge about when you start engaging in sexual activity outside of marriage. Proverbs chapter 5 says that sex is intoxicating. Look it up. It's in your Bible. So several of you have been drunk before. What happens when you get drunk? Well, one thing is you get better looking. And the other is everyone else gets better looking. And what it does, it blurs your vision, it lowers your standards, and it clouds your judgment. Here's the problem. Some of us are intoxicated because what we're doing with someone we're dating. You are with someone who's distinctly below your standards because your vision is clouded, your standards are lowered, and you're sitting there and you're going, this person is going to work, I'm going to make this work. And you're thinking that way because you're drunk. And for some of us, it's time to sober up. And when you sober up, you might say this, oh wow. Now that I'm sober, this person is not really helping me follow Jesus at all. And those people that I love, they don't love the person I'm with. They're pushing back on this relationship. That happened in my life quite often. And we actually don't have healthy conflict. And we don't really trust each other. And after all this time together, we're not getting closer to Jesus. We're actually getting further away from Jesus. And here's what scripture says again. The sensible people, they see trouble coming. They avoid it. But the unthinking, what they do is they head right into it and they regret it later. And that's why I don't say this in a harsh way, but some people that are in that relationship that's not honoring God, it's not honoring you, it's not honoring the other person, what you need to do is you need to break up. There's a verse that kind of goes along with this, and if you're dating someone who's destructive to you spiritually right now, here's the Bible, what the Bible says. It says in Psalm 119, get out of my life, for I intend to do what? Say it with me, obey the commands of my God. And I've had to do this in my life. The principle here is we're not growing closer to Jesus, that we should separate ourselves because I intend to obey the commandments of God. And I want to treat you in such a way that you have the same opportunity as well, because us together is not good for our relationship with God. What's going to happen? You're going to spend time with someone and it can get kind of intoxicating. And you're going to try to, you know, work things out, but then you're going to sober up and you're going to realize this isn't God honoring. And the most loving thing you can do is create separation to break it off. And you're not going to want to because you've got so much invested, right? But I want to encourage you, if it's not right, to have the courage to make the change. And sometimes the change is necessary for God to do a work in that other person, because I'm not good for them. And sometimes a break is necessary for God to do a work in you, because you can't marry the right person if you're dating the wrong one. And so when you break up, just some free advice here, don't do it over text. And when you break up in person, all right, don't come back 3 days later going, I'm so sorry, I heard our favorite song on the radio, can you hang out Thursday night? Don't do that either, don't be a loser, all right? Have the courage to love someone enough to break it off so that you can connect with God and give them the same opportunity. You may say, man, Nathan, why are you so serious about this? Because the red flags are all over the place, man. I see them all life. I've seen it in countless people, the pain of people who ignored the red flags and they got married. And I don't want to shame anyone who got married and ended up being divorced, but they will tell you this. That to try to create a life with kids and to walk away from that. As one of my friends said recently, he said, it's a nuclear explosion of pain. The heartbreak, the disappointment, the challenges, red flags all over the place. But what's it like when you start going to a relationship where God is blessing it and things are working well? Well, I'm going to tell you what you see. The first thing you're going to see is this person is consistently pursuing Jesus on their own. That's a great green flag. And when the person you're spending time with, that those you love, they love that person as well. I want to tell you something. Be very vulnerable. Rachel is the first person I ever dated that everyone was like, okay, don't mess that up, Freeman. Everyone was like, yeah, green light. And listen to those around you. And when you, when you're with them and things are moving in a way that when you have conflict, the Holy Spirit is leading you to resolution, that's a good sign. And when you keep growing in your trust for each other and the peace of God is on your relationship, and you wake up and you realize, you know what? We're actually growing closer to Jesus, not further away from Jesus as we spend time together. That's a huge green flag. And when you recognize this isn't just a dating relationship, but God is blessing this, God is opening doors, and I think where God is leading this is to a God-honoring covenant with him first and then with this other person in marriage. And God joins you together as you grow closer to him, and what God joins together, never let man separate. And you can have the blessings that I've known as God has been leading me and my wife through 24 years of marriage. It's a spiritual legacy that's going to impact generations to come. People I won't know because I'll be dead and gone, but they're going to be blessed because of our marriage. And so wherever you are, single and loving Jesus, dating and loving Jesus, married and loving Jesus, let's make sure that loving Jesus is our sole focus in whatever we're doing right now. Because the sensible, they see danger and they avoid it. But the unthinking, they walk right into it and they regret it later. You are far too smart. You are far too loved. And God is far too good for you to step off the path and onto the wrong one. So let's stay on the path that leads to life. Amen. Will you stand with me right now? Please stand. Let me pray over you. Father God, I come before you. And Lord, right now I pray for all of us in our relationships. And first and foremost, God, that we would honor you. And God, you just, right now, we need your spirit to convict us. To tell us that, God, if the relationship I'm in is honoring you or not. And Lord, some of us, if we're honest, we're in a toxic relationship and it's time to make a change. Especially for dating right now. And so, Lord, I pray that you will give them boldness. And, Lord, as we make decisions based on honoring you, Lord, there's always a blessing. It's not easy. It's not simple. It can be complicated. But, Lord, it keeps us from danger. And, Lord, there's huge blessing when we honor you in our relationships. Lord, I pray for boldness. I pray for confidence. I pray for courage. I pray for faith in every single one of us that will always pursue you with every vibe of our being, especially in our relationships. Lord, I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. The whole church said, amen. If there's a way to be a blessing to you, our prayer team is up here. Maybe you have a relationship to pray about. Maybe you have somebody else you want to pray for. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe today you just want to come back to the Lord. Maybe you have a joy you want to share. Please come as we worship the King of Kings. Our prayer team is up here. They would love to pray with you right now. Can we give God the praise as we worship him? Go ahead and give him praise right now, church. Please come as we sing to him.